Lord God, as we gather on this All Saints Sunday to hear names, commemorate those near to us who have gone before, lived in faith and died in faith and now are with you, help us to remember not just them, but other things we've lost and sit with those and know that you are here and you promise life and you promise eternal life and forgiveness and your presence. And so encourage us in what that means today. In Jesus' name, amen. For most of this fall, we've been talking about Old Testament stories that point towards Jesus and that talk about Jesus, even ones that were, you know, thousands of years before him. But we've taken just a two-week break from that. Last week, Reformation. This week, All Saints. So a little break from that. And the next week, we'll finish up with a couple more Old Testament stories. Today, I want you to go with me to Coventry Cathedral in England, northwest towards Birmingham. And if you go there, you experience the most unusual view as you walk in from the back. There's been a cathedral there for 1,000 years, but the current one is a modern one, and the entire back wall is a window. And as you enter through the cathedral, you enter through the back, you'd enter through this and under this window that's 70 feet high and 45 feet wide. So bigger than our back wall, very, you know, square, rectangular, very big. And they call that window the screen of saints and angels. It's this giant window, and engraved on it are images of saints and angels. That's why they call it the screen of saints and angels. And some of the saints were early missionaries to Britain that brought the message of Jesus. Others are angels that look like big flowing warriors playing trumpets. And it's the back wall, so when you come in and you would worship like you are sitting now, you wouldn't see it. You're facing the other way, you're facing the front. And that it's when you would turn around to go back out, you would see it. And you wouldn't just see the window and the screen and the saints and angels, the point of it was, it's a window that you see through it. You, on your way back out into life after worship, you see through it, and what exactly outside is it that you see? Well, 76 years ago, nearly to the day, it was November 1940, Coventry, the city, endured a 9-hour air raid by the German Luftwaffe, among the most brutal of any city in World War II, certainly the worst in England, and the city overnight was bombed to a burning pulp. Many were killed, many injured, very terrible, and the city was reduced to rubble, including its precious cathedral. And only the outer walls and the spire remained, and the ceiling, which was wood, was burning and smoldering rubble in the middle as well as everywhere else. And it was that day they woke up and said, we will rebuild this. But when they decided to rebuild, they decided to leave the ruins of the destroyed cathedral and to build a new one right next to it. And they wanted to declare that the devastation of war doesn't ultimately win. They wanted to declare that death and brokenness don't ultimately win. They wanted to declare that the resurrection says that Jesus wins. In the end, peace will win. Life will win. And so with the theme of reconciliation and peace, which to this day the cathedral still has reconciliation and peace ministries that are very thriving, but in that theme they built a new cathedral. And in designing the new one, they decided on that screen, that large window screen of saints and angels. And so when you stand in the sanctuary and look back to the back window through the carvings of angels and faithfully departed, you don't just see them, you see through them to the remains of the bombed out cathedral. So you look through the screen of heaven out into the brokenness out there. The message they wanted to convey to you and to me was clear. You must look through the window of heaven, through the screen of Jesus and his victory, as you look out into the ruins of the world and out into the ruins of your own life. If you just look out at the rubble, if you just look at things like broken families or children with no access to good education, or if you just look at families with not enough food or not enough work for parents, or people dying of treatable things like malaria around the world. If you just look at people losing homes to floods or hurricanes or all the losses and pain that you have felt in your own life, death of loved ones, difficult griefs and pains, and if you only look at those ruins, it can be overwhelming. But can you look at those ruins through the screen of God's victory? Can you see angels declaring the victory of God and blowing trumpets as you think about your own pain? Can you see saints worshiping the risen Jesus as you look out into a suffering world or the suffering in your own life? And as that window, that cathedral invites us to do, you have to look through the screen. Well, we already read it this morning. That was Revelation 7. Tells us to look through that screen as we look at the world and look at our lives. Look through the screen of God's victory, of God's grace and mercy, and God's promise to one day make all things right. Now, Revelation as a whole book is oft misunderstood, maybe the most misunderstood book in the Bible, and it can be quite confusing, so in many cases it's just easier to avoid, and so people do. But more than anything else, it's a screen to look through the world to say that in the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus is on the throne of the universe. If you get nothing else from that book, it tells you that Jesus is on the throne of the universe, and that's how we can look through the world. So Revelation is a vision. It's not one etched on glass in a window. It's a vision etched on the sky for John the disciple to see. He's given a vision, and at the beginning of the book, the angels of the Lord says, hey, get a scroll, write this down, what you're going to see, and this vision unfolds. And chapter 7's, you know, a third of the way through, so it's a big book, but right in chapter 7, the first part, which we didn't read, is a vision of the church on earth. It's unified, serving God, giving glory to Jesus, everyone doing what they're called to do. And then you get to what we read today, verse 9, it's not a vision of the church on earth, it's a vision of the church in heaven. Those who lived in Christ and died in Christ. And it's also a promise of your future. God promised that God will make things right in the world. When Jesus returns, God will fix everything broken. God will raise the dead. God will heal all diseases. Whatever you have grieved, whatever you have lost, endured, whatever pain you have been through, somehow, in a way that we probably don't even have words for, God will turn that into joy. So that's why Revelation says, after this, I looked, it's the vision, and there was this great multitude that nobody could count from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. There are thousands of think of how many people groups in the world, tribes, peoples, language, and representatives from all are standing before the throne, before the Lamb. And these are the ones that have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they're before the throne of God, and they serve God day and night in his temple. And I love this verse. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger or thirst or the sun beat them down. That's exactly what happened in the desert. They hungered, they thirsted, and the sun scorched them. Not ever again. And the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd to lead them to springs of living water. And this might be the best promise for some of you. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So yes, today, All Saints Day. It is one of my favorites. Favorite Sundays of the year, by the way. We honor those who lived in Christ and died in Christ. And we also sit with our own losses in life, our own pains and our own griefs. And maybe for you, it is a person. Maybe it's an empty seat next to you or a cold other side of the bed. Mom, dad, son, daughter, sister. Death is real and it is hard. But God promises that the resurrection of Jesus is even more real. And God's victory over death and brokenness and sin is even more real. And we look through that screen of Jesus' victory into the deaths and the sorrows that we must face as we walk out of the door today. So what has it been for you? What have you suffered? What losses have you endured? Certainly death of a loved one, hearing all the beautiful names today. Or those of you that have had to watch a loved one lose their mind before they lose their body, you've seen the horror of death. To see a sharp mind turn into confusion and dementia, that feels like death. Or to see your marriage crumble in your hands, that feels like death. Or to see your career dreams crash, that feels like death. What has it been for you? Can you name it? Can you sit with it today? And I want you to imagine it as the rubble of a bombed out cathedral. And as you look out at it, you look through the glass screen of heaven. And that's where Jesus is the king on the throne. He is the lamb on the throne who has risen, who has won the victory. And as he promises, he is with you now to shelter you with his presence. And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.